We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Ezekiel chapter 33. And our text for this morning you'll find in verse 11. Ezekiel 33 in verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, or why will ye die, O house of Israel? turn ye from your evil ways, or why will you die? That's a text that I took for the very first sermon I preached 52 years ago. In 1972, and after the service on Sunday evening in the Aberdeen Free Church, we would gather on Union Street for an open-air service. And I preached once from that text and felt helped. Next weekend, I thought I would preach again. And I was quite confident going to preach, but it wasn't quite the same, and I struggled to preach. The Lord was teaching me that I was very dependent upon him, and without his help, I can do nothing. That was 52 years ago, and of course, it's exactly the same today. Here I am, an old minister, and yet I can't preach without help from God. I can get up and speak for a while, but it's of no benefit. It's of no profit unless the Spirit takes the word. The word without the Spirit is completely ineffective. But if the Spirit of God is there, then the word lays hold of men and women and transforms their life. Basically, we have here the gospel message. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die? Why will you die when there is life with God? He's offering you life. So why will you die? Here, this chapter begins with God pointing out to Ezekiel how he is a watchman to Israel. He says, when the people of the land take one of their number, set him as a watchman, if the watchman sees the sword coming, a troop of folk coming in, soldiers coming in, his duty is to blow the trumpet so that the people who are out in the fields will be able to run to the town, into the fortress, and shut the gates so that they will be safe. And if he does that, if he blows the trumpet, people are saved. And if there is out there in the field somebody who hears the trumpet and he decides not to bother, and then the raiders, the bandits come and kill that person, well, he dies and it's his own fault. The watchman has fulfilled his function. He's warned, and the individual didn't heed the warning, and so he perished. But if the watchman sees danger coming and doesn't blow the trumpet, and the enemy comes in and kills the people die in their sins, yes. But the watchman is held responsible for having failed to perform his duty. He hasn't blown the trumpet. And so God says to Ezekiel, I've set you as a watchman. And when I speak to you and I warn of the sword of judgment that's coming on the land, you have to blow the trumpet. And if people choose to disregard your blowing of the trumpet, well, that's up to them. And they will die under the judgment of God. But if they listen to the trumpet and they repent, then they will be saved. But if you know that the danger is coming and that I've warned you and you fail to blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and they die in their sins. They die in their sins because of their sins, and we're all sinners. But God will hold the watchman responsible for having failed to warn. God appoints Ezekiel a watchman, and God appoints ministers today as a watchman. Sadly, too many ministers don't blow the trumpet. They don't warn people of their sins and the danger that's coming. Friends, I want to blow the trumpet today and to tell you, you need to repent. You need to flee from the wrath to come, because God is soon going to come in judgment. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Will it catch you unaware? And will you end up weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth forever? The watchman has to blow the trumpet, and I would seek to do that today. Well, first of all, there's reference made here to your evil ways. Turn ye from your evil ways. Sadly, Israel, time and time again, went astray after idols. Again and again, they turned to Baal, to Ashtaroth, to Moloch, to Chemosh. What about you? Do you have an idol? Are you worshipping false gods? I know you don't have a golden calf that you bow before, or a silver shrine to Diana in your house. But is money your God? Or your home your God? Or your job your God? Or your family? Do you worship yourself and your own abilities and your own looks and your own hard work? Do you worship pleasure, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? There are so many idols. Do you worship your mobile phone? How many people there are all day long, they're going round with their mobile phone worshiping it. Are you like that? Yes, it has its uses. Of course it does. But has it become a god to you? Could you imagine life without it? Would you survive if you didn't have a mobile phone? Or would your life become intolerable? What takes up your time? What attracts your attention? What do you spend your life doing? God says, son, give me thine heart. Son, daughter, give me not a bit of your heart or even a lot of your heart, but give me your heart, your whole heart. Give me your life. Give me your affections. Give me your desires. Give me the central place. Make me your God. Put your faith in me. Love me with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. That's what God requires. And God created you and me. And why did he create us? To glorify and enjoy him. He created us for himself. We're not here in this world to enjoy ourselves, to please ourselves, to do our own will. We're here to live for God. God made us. You belong to God. Your duty is to live for Him. And when your life is over, you will be judged according to this. Did you live for God? Did you live for God, or did you live for yourself and for your idols? What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Not conforming yourself to the law of God. What is the law of God? The law of God is a reflection of God's character. The law of God is basically this: love God and love your neighbor. Do you love Him? Do you love Him totally, completely, always, in every situation? If you love me, you keep my commandments. So what about you? Do you tell lies ever? Do you deceive? Do you pretend? Are you hypocritical? Do you swear? Do you gossip? Do you engage in lust or immorality of any kind? Pornography or whatever it may be. Remember, even what is done in the darkness, God sees. And what is going on in the secret of your own heart, it's as an open book before God. God sees everything. He knows everything. He's aware of everything. You can hide nothing from Him. Your whole life is lived out, as it were, on the stage of time. And God is in the audience, watching every moment. Is there anybody here who's good living? Is there anybody here who keeps all the commandments? What about the elders? Are they godly men who keep the commandments all the time? What about the minister? All these years professing faith since he was young, does he keep the commandments all the time? Sadly, far from it. We're all sinners. You're a sinner. And I'm a sinner, a filthy sinner, a wretched sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. If God were to deal with you and me as we deserve, where would we be just now? In the fire of hell, tormented. It's God's long-suffering that gives us another day in this world. Every day of our lives, we're provoking the Lord to anger by our disobedience. Disobedience in thought, in word, and in deed. Turn ye from your evil ways. One day, we're going to stand before the great white throne, white and pure and perfect. And on that throne, one will be sitting, before whose face heaven and earth shall flee away. And many a man or woman would love to flee away too, but they wouldn't be allowed, because every man and woman will be raised from the dead or gathered together, and a magnetic force of phenomenal strength will draw you all before that throne. And the books will be opened, and you will be judged out of what is written in the books, according to your works, whether they be good or evil. your evil ways. That's the first point. And then secondly, the sword. We're told here about the sword coming and the watchman having to warn people of the sword that's coming. So I have to warn you. I have to warn you that God is angry with sinners every day. That's what the Bible tells us. People think of God as far away, not particularly interested in what's going on in our little lives. How wrong that is. God is here today. God is in your home. God is everywhere. God is watching. God is listening. God is all around you, wherever you are. And God is angry at every sin and every lack of conformity to his own word. Every failure to do what he has commanded you to do. He tells us the wages of sin is death, physical death and eternal death. Eternal dying in hell. God is patient. God is long-suffering. He says here, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no delight in punishing the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God is long-suffering. That's why there's a gospel, and that's why there's a day of grace. But eventually, the day of grace will be over. The day of mercy will come to an end. Remember the rich man in the parable. The rich man who was clothed in purple, fared sumptuously every day. One day, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Do you know what torment is? The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. God is merciful. He's gracious, but he's also just. And he hates sin. And he must punish sin. And he cannot choose not to punish sin. Every sin must be punished. And when he saw his son on Calvary, covered in our sins, although he loved his son, he had to punish his son. And he had to pour his wrath and curse upon his son on Calvary's cross. So if he punished his beloved son, how much more will he punish you, wicked sinner? Every man and every woman will have to give account. Remember the ancient world before, in the days of Noah, it had become so violent, so unclean, so immoral, so filthy, and God became angry with it. His long suffering reached an end, and God determined to destroy the world. And God told Noah, told him to build an ark. And God's wrath came upon the ancient world. Every man, woman, and child, even the little babies in the world, were drowned because of God's wrath. Because of sin. God is loving. God is kind. God is merciful. But God is holy. And God punishes sin. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Proud, luxurious, immoral. The fire and brimstone came from heaven and destroyed them all. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admon, Zeboah. The whole valley burnt up. the wrath of God. God's wrath is real. His anger continues against sin. Satan says, oh, but God is loving. How can a God of love send people to hell forever? I'm sure at the end of the day, everything will work out fine. And I'm not really all that bad a person. In fact, I'm really quite a good person. And I come to church every Sunday and I'm not surely not bad enough to be sent to hell forever. That's what Satan says. Remember what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die. God couldn't possibly do that. He's just created you and he's made you in his own image. Come on, you can eat the forbidden fruit. It won't hurt you. In fact, it'll make you like God, knowing good and evil. Just think of it, you'll be like God, and you shall not surely die. But what happened? The moment Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they died. Spiritually died. They felt naked and ashamed before God. The relationship that they had with God was broken. They were now under his wrath and curse, and physical death began. Just as God had said, he's the God who cannot lie. And when he says something, it happens. He has warned, and he's warned you of hell. And he tells me to blow the trumpet as a watchman and to warn you of the wrath to come. And so that's what I'm trying to do this morning, to warn you of the coming wrath so that you will flee to safety while you have time. Thirdly, we notice that it says here, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is holy. He hates sin. He must punish it. But he has no pleasure in it. He has no delight in it. He doesn't enjoy casting men and women into hell, tormenting them forever. That's not the sort of God he is. And in fact, he loves to save. And because he loves to save, he sent his son into this world to be the savior. God spared not his own son. Just think of it. The sacrifice, as it were, that God made. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God so loved the world that he gave an unspeakable gift. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus told us the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd who had 100 sheep, one went missing. What did he do? He left the 99 and he went looking for the lost sheep. And when he found it, he carried it home on his shoulders. And he called together his friends and neighbors and said, come with me and rejoice because I have found the sheep that was lost. Likewise, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Or the woman who had the 10 pieces of silver and she lost one piece and she searched diligently and swept the house till she found it. And when she found it, she called her neighbors together and said, rejoice with me. I found the piece that was lost. Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Or the father of the prodigal, when the prodigal came home, after having wasted his substance and riotous living. What did he do? He ran to meet him, threw his arms round him, kissed him. Yes, kissed him in all his smelly filth, smelling of the pig's dung. He embraces him and he says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And kill the fatted calf, and let us make merry and be glad, for this my son was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive again. How wonderful is God's mercy. But it's not going to last forever. He's wonderfully merciful, long-suffering. Remember the ancient world? We spoke about it in the days of Noah. God determined to destroy it. And you remember what he said? Yet 120 years and the world will be destroyed. Told Noah to build an ark. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness, building that ark for 120 years, preaching the gospel and blowing the trumpet. What happened? The end of 120 years, Noah and his wife and his sons and their three wives entered the ark and nobody else. And then the rain came, and then it was too late. Too late. Banging on the door of the ark. Noah, Noah, let us in, let us in. Too late, too late. God has shut the door and nobody can open it. The door of grace is closed. The door of salvation is barred. The time of mercy has come to an end. God is merciful and gracious and slow to wrath, but don't test his patience. Don't provoke him with carrying on in sin. Who knows, maybe today God will say to you, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. A fool going on in sin. Thou fool, tonight you're going to die. Thank God that you're not in hell already. Prepare to meet your God. That leads us fourthly to the words we have here. Turn ye. Turn ye from your sin. Turn from your idols. Turn from your lusts. Turn from your greed. Turn from your lies. Turn from your pride. Turn from your hypocrisy. Repent and believe the gospel. Flee to the city of refuge. Flee to the tower, the safe tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. God's name, Jesus Christ, is a strong tower, a safe place, a city of refuge. Christ is like Noah's ark. Those who are inside it are completely safe. No matter what rain comes, no matter what floods rise, no matter what storms beat against the ark, how safe Noah and his family were, and how safe you are if you're in Christ. We think of Lot in Sodom, and the angels come to warn him. He goes to warn his sons-in-law, and they think he's joking. They have a laugh about it. Fire and brimstone going to come down on our city? Never. A lot of nonsense, all this fire and brimstone preaching. It's a lot of nonsense. And they had a good laugh about it. But before the next morning, the fire and brimstone came. The judgment descended. Turn ye, why are you running along this road that leads to hell? It's time to turn back. You're running, and soon you're going to go over the cliff, over the precipice, into the lake of fire. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Turn from your sins. Come to Christ. Start that new life with Jesus. Have you repented? Well, you're saying, yes, I think I repented 10 years ago. Make sure you repent again today. Repentance is not something you do once. It's a lifetime's occupation. And believing in Jesus is not something you do once, something you're to do afresh every day. Repent and believe the gospel. And you may be an old Christian. You have to repent and believe the gospel again today. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel, O church of God? O Christians, make your calling and election sure. And how can you make it sure? By repenting again and believing again and turning from your sins again and trusting in Jesus once more. Every day we ought to be repenting and believing. So I want to blow the trumpet here this morning. Turn or burn. Turn or burn. You have been warned. And if you perish, remember this. It's not my fault. One day I'll meet you again. I'll meet you at God's right hand, the judgment day. And you won't be able to look me in the eye and say, you didn't warn me. I have warned you. Repent or perish. Turn or burn. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? And so finally, there is life with God. There is salvation with God. There's mercy with God. Why perish when God is offering you eternal life? How wonderful is that well-known text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's great love gave his Son, that whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your past, wherever you come from, believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. A wonderful truth. God's loving provision of his own Son at great cost to himself, dying on the cross of Calvary. He provides you with the only strong tower, the only hiding place for the day of wrath. Why perish? Why go to hell when Christ is willing to save you? Why choose to be miserable forever when Christ is saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Turn to the Lord and be saved. The day of the Lord will come as a thief of the night, a thief coming under cover of darkness when you don't expect it. But you've been warned. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die when God is offering you eternal life? Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the glorious gospel of God's redeeming grace, that old, old gospel that's been preached for thousands of years. We thank thee that it's still as relevant and as powerful today. And we can say with the Apostle Paul of old, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Gracious God, bless us each one. Bless thy word to our souls and grant that we would receive the message with faith, mixing it with faith in our hearts, and find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.